I want to thank the Scott family for leading us in worship this morning. If you want to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and we're really coming close to the end of this book. And it's been a wonderful journey as we've traveled verse by verse through the book of Colossians. And really, our passage begins this morning in verse 7. And it's normally the part of the book where most people just kind of read through and we mispronounce some names and just Paul kind of comes to the closing of his letter. But there's so much enriched truth in these last verses here, even as we look at some individuals this morning. And really break this up, we're going to cover, I guess, part one this morning and part two next week. And we'll, Lord willing, finish up the book next week. But this morning we'll cover verses 7 through 11. We're going to look at some individuals and we can take away from this, guys, that in ministry, whatever your ministry is, that we're never called to be lone rangers. We're never called to take it alone. We're never called to just be alone in our ministry. As we'll look at, even the Apostle Paul was in the presence of others while ministering. And even his first ministering position at the church of Antioch, he was in leadership with four other men. So it's the same for us today, and really this morning and next week, we will see how Paul saw his companions of the faith and fellow slaves. So we'll title this to this week and next week, Fellow Slaves, and how Paul viewed this. Even in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. These that we'll cover this morning and next week are loyal comrades of Paul. Let's pick up reading in verse 7 of chapter 4 and read through verse 11. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation here. Verse 10 says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin, Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers of the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you now. Father, we give you thanks for allowing us to be here. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your grace that you continue to give us. Father, we thank you for this time that we can set aside and look at just a few short verses and really some individuals that you given Paul to minister to him. Father, I pray that our motive this morning will not be just to learn some history and learn about some heroes of the faith, but that we would take away and that our wills would be ignited to live for you. Father, we can learn a little bit from each one of these people, but Father, ultimately it's your work in them that we learn about. And I pray that we would focus on that this morning. I pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray that your spirit would go forth and convict us, encourage us, motivate us, Father, whatever we need this morning. And I pray this in your son's name. Amen. So really, Paul gives us eight individuals between the verses of 7 to the end of the book. This morning, we'll do a part one, and we're going to look at five of the eight. And really, the first one we come out is in verse 7. It says, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother. Now, we've learned about Tychicus a little bit in this book so far, but he's only mentioned five times in all of Scripture. Five times, and each account that he's mentioned is a very brief mentioning. But yet, in every time he's mentioned, it puts him in a place of Paul's ministry, whether it be his journeys, whether it be his imprisonment or trials, it puts him with Paul. And so as we look at Tychicus, his name means fortunate. Fortunate. Now, many will say that he was greatly fortunate to serve alongside Paul, and he was. But after we cover this verse, I think it's safe to say that Paul would say to himself that he was fortunate enough to serve alongside Tychicus. So let's look at his, we're going to turn to all of these, but his first mention is in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and in the context of what's going on is Paul is in Greece in Asia Minor, and he's gathering funds to bring back to the church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem was primarily Jews. The churches at Greece and Asia Minor were primarily Gentiles. And so one way, Paul was called to the Gentile church to preach to the Gentiles, but in way to bring unity between the two, and because the Jews in Jerusalem, the Christian Jews, needed the funds, Paul is making this long journey to bring, on his third missionary journey actually, to bring these funds back to Jerusalem. And that's the first place we see Tychicus. In fact, he wasn't only bringing the funds, but he's bringing some representatives from the churches to travel with him to Jerusalem. Now, everywhere he went, Paul was warned of the danger that awaited him at Jerusalem. Do not go. But Paul persevered. In fact, it's not recorded anywhere that even Tychicus was wary of it. It said in one of the commentators that I was studying this week that many gave their money, many gave their funds to send to the church of Jerusalem. Tychicus gave his life. He left his home, his family, what he was comfortable with, and he's traveling with Paul to the church of Jerusalem. He makes this long journey with him to bring these funds to the Jerusalem church. And that's really the first mention of Tychicus in all of Scripture. The next we see in Ephesians. Ephesians, let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And as we'll see here, guys, even with that trip to Jerusalem in Acts, that the danger that awaited, yet Tychicus was faithful not only to Paul, but to Christ. I'm going to go with you regardless of the danger that awaits us there. Regardless of it. Guys, what a true companion. As we get into the verse in Colossians here in a second, Paul gives a description of Tychicus, and it's probably the only description we get really of Scripture. But it is just so amazing how Paul viewed this man. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, we see him again. And this is another prison epistle, the same with Colossians. So it's the same imprisonment in Rome. But verse 21 says, "But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you." This is almost the exact same verse that we have in Colossians. So here's an interesting thing, guys. We know already that Tychicus is delivering the letter of Colossians to the Colossae church. Tychicus is a messenger from Paul to deliver this letter. But here we see in Ephesians, he's carrying another letter, Ephesians. Now, in the early manuscripts, that many times that the location of Ephesians, that the Greek manuscript, it was blank in the sense of it didn't say Ephesus. And so we take away from that is this letter was for all the churches. Now, they did find a manuscript that was labeled Ephesus, and many believe that's where the last ending point was, and that's why they have Ephesus in one of the manuscripts, which we get the book of Ephesians. But there's no mention of really individuals there or circumstances going on in Ephesus as we see in Colossae. So it was really for all the church. So there's no doubt that Tychicus, after he was delivering this Colossian letter, he made his rounds to all the churches to bring in the letter of Ephesians, eventually ending up in Ephesus. So we see he's a messenger. He's not only bringing Colossians, he's bringing Ephesians. But there's another letter that he's bringing. We know that with history and what's going on is Onesimus is going with Tychicus. Paul is sending Tychicus back to Colossians, but he's sending Onesimus back with him. And we'll cover him in just a second. But he writes the book of Colossians to the Colossian church, but he writes Philemon, the book of Philemon, to an individual Philemon. And it probably tells us that the church at Colossae was held in the house of Philemon. And Onesimus was his slave, and we'll get to him in a second. But there's no doubt that Tychicus brought this letter along with him. So Paul entrusted him with not one, not two, but three inspired letters. Talk about trust. Paul trusted this man. He was like his right-hand man in the sense of as a messenger. Even in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, our text, Tychicus, he will bring you information, it says. He's bringing this letter to them. He's a great messenger. Guys, I remind you, this was not a short journey from Rome, where Paul was in prison, where Tychicus was with him, all the way to Colossae. It was about 1,300 miles. This was not just a flat land either. It was through mountains and valleys and seas and rivers. It was not an easy journey. And yet Paul entrusted him with three inspired letters to travel all that way to deliver him. Talk about someone Paul trusted. We see another mention of him in Titus chapter 3. Turn there real quickly. Titus chapter 3. Titus is the pastor at the island of Crete, and Paul is writing this to him, a great man of the faith. And in Titus chapter 3, verse 12, we find Tychicus mentioned again. Now, Paul wanted Titus to come see him. He wanted him to come to him. So in chapter 3 of Titus, verse 12, it says, "When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me in Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." So Paul is wanting Titus to come to him. Come spend the winter with me. But Titus was a pastor at Crete. And so he said, "I know you're going to have to leave your congregation. I know that's not an easy task. I'm going to send somebody to fill your spot." And there's two men he mentions here. And we're never told which one he sends, but one is Artemis and one is Tychicus. He is possibly sending Tychicus to be an interim pastor. So he's not only a messenger, and this is later in Paul's ministry, but he grows to be a pastor. And Titus was not a man that just Paul would send anybody to fill his role. It took someone Paul loved very much and entrusted not only as a messenger, but as a deliverer of the word. And Tychicus is mentioned. He's thinking about sending him to Crete to fill his spot. The next one is in 2 Timothy, very similar to Titus. He writes, it's the 2 Timothy, his last letter. He's writing to Timothy. And again, in chapter 4, he wants Timothy to come to Paul. Paul knows that he's not going to live very much longer, and he wants to see Timothy. And in verse 12 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he says, "But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus. And he wants, and he says, "Come to me, Timothy. Come to see me. But guess what? I've sent Tychicus to take your spot. He is going to be interim pastor for you while you're with me." So here we do see he's the only candidate. I am sending him to fill your spot. He is going to be a pastor in your debt while you're with me. So guys, Tychicus was greatly respected of Paul. He was loved by Paul. He was more likely with Paul throughout all his arrest and trials and imprisonments, even facing execution himself. Paul was, even in this imprisonment back in Colossians, that when that imprisonment in Rome, he may have been put to death. He was awaiting a decision. Tychicus was right by his side, which did not put him in a good spot either, but it reminds us of his worthiness in the sense of not himself, but Christ at work in his life to stand by Paul even in that trial. He was right with him as a messenger, as a pastor, as a companion of Paul. Now let's come to our text here in verse 7. It says, "As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother." Our beloved brother. This beloved means the one who is loved, and it's no doubt by God, but specifically too, it's by Paul. And he includes the Colossians. Our beloved brother. Now, brother means here, it can mean different things in the word that it's used. Some can mean like a physical brother, like a blood relative. Other is taken like an associate in service, like you work together. But the third is like a believer, as we would say, a brother and sister in Christ. So Paul says he is a fellow beloved brother. But it's no doubt he had on his mind as well, he was an associate in service. Paul was in the service of our great Lord, and so was Tychicus. So there's no doubt that was part of his description here. But he's saying he is a brother in Christ. Guys, we can take something away from that as well. Guys, if you're a Christian, we share something greater than what blood can share, and it's Christ's blood. It's the union we have in Christ as fellow believers, as brothers and sisters. That's how Paul viewed Tychicus. He is my beloved brother, my brother that I love with this agape love, with this love that only comes in Christ. He is Paul's brother in Christ. And next he adds, and faithful servant. Now we're going to see here, there's two words for servant. We see a faithful servant and a fellow bond servant. Now there's two different words there. The first one is not doulos. It's not slave. What this is associating itself is with Paul. He is faithful servant. Faithful means to be trustworthy. A person who shows themselves faithful. And servant here means one who obeys the commands of another. Is at the will of another. So what Paul is saying here is Paul is not putting himself above Tychicus. He's not saying that I'm the master, you are the slave here. But what he is saying is he is right by my side. He is a servant of my ministry that God has given me. Paul was physically unable to minister to the church at Colossians. He was physically unable because he was chained in a jail. But here's Tychicus, a fellow servant of Paul, to send him. So that's what Paul means here, a faithful servant. That speaks to Paul. He is faithful to me. He is faithful to my ministry. And we see the second here, in fellow bondservant in the Lord. Now this word for bondservant is doulos. It means slave. So here is the greatest, this is kind of Tychicus' resume from Paul's perspective, and here is the greatest honor. This is the top of the page, the number one. Yes, he's a servant of me, he's a beloved brother, but he is a slave of Christ. He is in service to the great Lord, our great King. Could even say our faithful bondservant in the Lord. This speaks to Christ. It's a greater service. So not only is he at the side of Paul, but he's serving Christ. That's his motive. He's serving Christ. Yes, he's with Paul. He's delivering these letters. But his big picture is he is serving Christ. Paul says he is a bondservant, a slave in the Lord. That's the greatest honor that any Christian has. And he ends there. He will bring you information. He will bring you information. He's bringing this letter. In verse 8, he continues, "For I have sent him to you for this very purpose." Remember, 1,300 miles, long ways. But he sent them, he has sent Tychicus to them for a very purpose, that they may, for two reasons. One, that they may know our circumstances. The circumstances is Paul's health, his ministry, his hopes, what his future is going to look like, what's going on in Paul's life. He says, I'm sending you for that purpose, that you may know what's going on with us. But there's a second, that he may encourage your hearts. So again, Paul's focus is on the Colossians. I'm sending him, yes, for you, you know what's going on with us, but that he may encourage you. Now this word for encouragement means strengthen. That he may strengthen them. Now we know that just going through this book, that they were facing a great trial. The Colossian errorists, the false teachers were banging on their door. They were trying, the Lycus Valley with Laodicea and Hierapolis, they were being infiltrated by false teaching. And that's why Epaphras, who we'll cover next week, makes this long journey. So Paul, we know, has strengthened them. There's been a great portion of Colossians built to renewing your mind. Be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. That's how one way they're strengthened. And we even covered a few weeks about being devoted to prayer. Conduct yourselves in a worthy manner of prayer. There's two ways that they're being strengthened. And it's carried along with this letter of Colossians. He's just not bringing them a, hey, you know, hope you're doing well. He's bringing them an inspired letter that's going to strengthen them, going to prepare them for this trial, going to encourage them. Guys, that's what Paul's mindset was. That's what Tychicus' mindset was. They didn't view themselves as priority. Tychicus, it was very dangerous to go these 1,300 miles, but his motive is, I'm serving Christ, and I'm going to encourage, I'm going to strengthen this Colossian church. Guys, we need men like Tychicus in ministry. It's not worried about their personal lives, but is to serve Christ to no whatever end. To come alongside a man like Paul and say, you know what? I'm your messenger. Send me. But his purpose was to encourage their hearts. It shows Paul's and Tychicus' love for others, even though they didn't know them personally. Paul did not know these people here at Colossae on a personal level. But yet it shows the love that they had for them. Paul fortifies them with the truth of the Colossian letter to strengthen them. Tychicus was a beloved brother of Paul. And though he's only mentioned five times, and this is the most description that we get in every account, he was a messenger, he was a pastor, but he was a beloved brother and a fellow slave of Christ. There's another man going on this journey. Brings us to verse 9, Onesimus. Onesimus. Now we've talked about him as well, and he has a big part in the book of Philemon. To give a little background, Philemon, again, the church at Colossae was held probably at his house. But Philemon was a wealthy man. He had slaves. Onesimus was one of those slaves. Now, in some way, he wronged Philemon and possibly even the church. He stole from him or whatever, but he ran away. He deserted him. And Rome was a place for runaway slaves. There was around 2 million people here at this time. So Onesimus, to get away from Philemon and being a slave, made this long journey to Rome to escape. Guys, and the punishment for runaway slaves, if they were caught, was death. They would be put to death. Now, by God's providence, it's amazing, with 2 million people here, Onesimus goes to Rome. Well, guess who's at Rome? Paul. And in some way, God provides a way Onesimus gets saved. It's amazing, too. Backstory, Philemon got saved under Paul and Paul's ministry at Ephesus. And here you have his very slave, Onesimus, going to Rome. And by God's providence, they meet and he is saved. So he's a runaway slave, but Paul gives a description here. It's amazing. We see the gospel at work here. And with him, so he's sending him with him. Onesimus is still with Paul in Rome, but he's sending him back with Tychicus to the church at Colossae. And we know by the book of Philemon, it is to right his wrong. And Paul pleads with Philemon to forgive him, to even put his account or his debt on Paul's account. But here in Colossians, he's sending Onesimus with Tychicus. He says, and with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother. It's amazing here. When Onesimus left, he was a runaway slave, an unsaved person. And now Paul, he was unfaithful, okay, as a slave in the sense that he ran away. But now Paul writes this as our faithful and beloved brother. He left unfaithful, but now he's coming back as a brother in Christ. And now he's faithful. This beloved brother is the same with Tychicus. It's a fellow believer in Christ. And he even adds, who is one of your number? He's one of yours. You can even say he's a member of your church now. He's not just your slave. He's coming back a Christian. Receive him. It shows the power of salvation here, guys. He left in a wrong way. He left as a sinner, an unregenerate sinner, but Christ saved him with Paul, and now he's returning back as a faithful and beloved brother. That's the power of the gospel. And Paul even includes him on this list, guys, as a faithful and beloved Christian who's no longer your just physical slave now. He's one of you. He's a faithful slave of Christ now. And even as they're at the end, they will inform you about the whole situation here. Tychicus and Onesimus, they'll explain what's going on here. And even Onesimus' testimony, no doubt, was included on that. Because this shows that if anyone comes to Christ for salvation, he is no longer the same person. He is a new creature. Onesimus was an unregenerate sinner, and he returned a slave of Christ. And it's even told by history. There's a man named Ignatius, and this was after the New Testament era. Scripture, the canon of Scripture ended. Revelation has been wrote. It's after this. They have found a letter of the pastor at Smyrna, and his name was Ignatius. Now, this is just what history tells us. And they found this letter that was written by Ignatius, the pastor of Smyrna, and he writes this letter to the church at Colossians, the church at Colossae. You know who he titles this to, who he addresses this to? The pastor at Colossae. You know what his name is? Onesimus. Now, there's no proof that this is the same Onesimus, but wouldn't that be wonderful if it was? This is many years after this account, but he addresses that letter to the pastor at Colossae, and his name is Onesimus. Colossae was a small church. It could very well have been this same man. Talk about the power of the gospel. He was a runaway slave, now a faithful brother, and possibly even the future pastor of this church. Now, that's amazing. It's amazing that Paul includes him in this list of people that were ministering to him. Onesimus was an important person. It never says in Scripture if Philemon accepted him back, but if he did become the pastor, I would say that he probably did. So we've learned about Tychicus, his beloved brother and faithful servant. We've learned about Onesimus, this runaway slave who is now a faithful brother in Christ. And the third we're going to learn about is Aristarchus. Verse 10, my fellow prisoner sends you his greetings. My fellow prisoner. And Aristarchus, he's from Thessalonica, and he accompanied Paul on his third missionary journey. And he's mentioned a few times in Scripture. He accompanied him also during his stay at Ephesus when Paul was ministering in Ephesus, and even traveled with him to Rome. Now, Aristarchus was arrested in Ephesus when a riot broke out, and he was arrested there. But he even traveled when Paul was going to his trial in Rome. Aristarchus was with him. But here's an interesting thing to look at. This fellow prisoner means one caught with a spear. It literally means a war captive. But here's something interesting with reading about this man and help for some commentaries. There's no proof that he was imprisoned in Rome right now. There's no proof that he was in a cell next to Paul. So why does Paul mention him as a fellow prisoner if he might not have been in prison with him? What he means here by calling him that is he might as well have been. He was serving alongside with Paul in house arrest, just as Paul was. So Paul includes him as my fellow prisoner. Though he wasn't there because he had to be like Paul, he chose to be there for one purpose. It doesn't give us much information about him other than he sends his greetings. But there's no doubt that the only reason he was there, it gives no credentials. He wasn't a great teacher, it doesn't say. It doesn't say that he was this messenger or a pastor, and he could have been some of those things, but there's no proof of that. He was there for one reason, to bear the burden with Paul. To bear that burden with Paul. There's no doubt that that was a great burden with being imprisoned in Rome. But he gave up his freedom because Paul needed a companion. Many times when the times get rough, people bail. Aristarchus did not bail out. He was right with Paul the entire time. And Paul includes him, my fellow prisoner. Even though he probably wasn't in chains like Paul, he was there with him, guys. Talk about even to associate yourself with a man like Paul, it puts you in a bad position. Most people would have been like, I'm going to make some distance between him and me. No, not Aristarchus. He puts himself right with Paul, and Paul includes him, my fellow prisoner. And he sends you his greetings. He greets the church at Colossae. There's not much given other than that, but he's his fellow prisoner to bear Paul's burdens. Galatians 6 tells us about bearing one another's burdens. We need men like Aristarchus. We all go through tough times. We all go through trials and persecution times and just sorrowful times. We need men like this and women like this to come alongside and bear our burdens. He was a great man of the faith for Paul to include him on here, and he includes him as his fellow prisoner. Brings us to our next person here, Mark. Mark. He said, and also Barnabas' cousin, Mark. Now, Mark and Paul had an interesting backstory. We first see him in Paul's beginning of his ministry in the first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13. Mark is with Paul. But times get going tough. They are facing dangers of robbers and getting imprisoned. And guess what Mark does? He leaves. He goes back to Jerusalem. He bails on Paul. Says, I can't do this. He leaves him. And even fast forward a couple chapters in Acts chapter 15, Paul is gearing up to go on his another missionary journey. And it's Silas and Barnabas with him. And Barnabas says, hey, Paul, let's take along John Mark. Paul says, no deal. No. He bailed on us last time. He deserted us. I'm not taking him with me. And it actually caused a split between Paul and Barnabas. Paul went with Silas. Barnabas took Mark. that was the beginning of Paul's ministry into his second journey. And they had a split because of John Mark. This is later in history. This is later in the timeline of Colossians. What happened to Mark? Now he's back with Paul. What happened to him? Let's turn to 1 Peter, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5. As we know, Peter is a man who deserted Christ 3 times, to be exact. So Peter probably knew what it was like to abandon someone in need. We see here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. As he's closing his first letter here. To she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings. And so does my son, Mark. There's no doubt that between the time when Mark abandoned Paul to his split with Barnabas and Paul to the time of Colossians, Peter ministered to Mark. There's no doubt. He calls him his son here. He probably took Mark under his wing to help him. Turn to 2 Timothy again. This is the end of Paul's life, like we've said here. And there's no doubt that Peter was instrumental in restoring Mark. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul is, again, let's read verse, start in verse 9. He says, make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas has loved this present world, has deserted me and gone through Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark. Here we go. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. This is the end of Paul's life. And he's writing again to Timothy, come see me, but when you're coming, go ahead and bring Mark. He's useful for the service. He's useful now. Guys, there's no doubt again that Peter was instrumental in restoring Mark and bringing him back to where Paul even trusted him again. But we see here, even in Colossians, he mentions Mark. And in here in Timothy, 2 Timothy, he said he's very useful. Bring him. Paul's last days. He says, bring Mark to me. Look what Mark was at the end. He had a rough start, but don't we all? Don't we all? But we see here at the end of Paul's life, Mark was very useful for the service to Christ. And years after even Paul deceased, Paul was martyred. Mark had the privilege that only 3 other men in all of history had. He wrote a gospel where we get the gospel of Mark. So we see here, even in times that we mess up, like Mark did, like Peter did, look at the end of their lives. Look at the growth. Paul at one point in his life didn't even want Mark to come with him. But at here in Colossians, he includes him on here. And also in Timothy, bring him to me. He was useful. Guys, it's amazing what sanctification can do. It's amazing what growing in Christ can do. And we see that in Mark's life. Now he adds this back in Colossians. He adds this in verse 10. Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Guys, there probably was a reputation of Mark of being a deserter, of being a failure. So Paul tells him, if he comes to you, welcome him. He's no longer that same man. He's a strong fellow brother in Christ. Welcome him. It's amazing to see Mark's life. The last one we bring to is a man named Jesus, and they also called him Justice, verse 11. It says, and also Jesus, who is called Justice. Now there's a reason why they called him Justice, probably just to distinguish him. But justice even means righteous, righteousness. And guys, if you see here, there's nothing mentioned here really of him. And he just concludes, and also Jesus, who is called Justice. But he adds something here at the very end of verse 11 that includes Aristarchus, Mark, and this justice guy. It says, these are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision. So there's something different about Aristarchus, Mark, and this man named Jesus who is called Justice. They were Jews. They were Jews. And guys, he ropes all three of them in here with a great statement. They are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God that are from the circumcision. Guys, the Jews rejected Paul. Even the converted Jews, many of them rejected Paul. Not these three. These three were right alongside him. Justice had a strong companionship with Paul. So did Mark. So did Aristarchus. For him to say they were the only fellow workers. Think about that. At this point in Paul's ministry, they were the only three converted Jews that were ministering along with Paul here. Guys, even to be seen with him as a Jew was disgraceful to the Jews. Again, they rejected Paul, but for them to be here, not only in the presence of him, but in the presence of an imprisonment. This man is suffering in a prison cell for Christ. He's chained to a guard, and so are these three converted Jews. This was a big price to pay with their reputation, and they were willing not only to pay it to Paul, but ultimately, who were they paying it to? Who were their eyes fixed on? It was Christ. They were in service to Christ. It didn't matter what nationality they were. We learned that in Colossians. There's neither slave or free man. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, guys. If you were in Christ, you are a new creation. And we see that with these three converted Jews. They were willing to set aside all of that because it really didn't matter that they were Jewish and Paul was Jewish. All that mattered is they were fellow believers in Christ. Guys, it's the same for us this morning. Doesn't matter where we come from. We see a different variety of men here. Tychicus and Mark, who had a failing, and Onesimus, who was a runaway slave. We see a great multitude. Guys, it's the same in our day with ministering with one another. We all have different backgrounds, different nationalities, but all that matters is we are united in Christ. That's the only thing that matters, and that's what Paul's seen. He said, these are the only three converted Jews that are serving with me right now. And he adds here at the very end, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Now, this encouragement is a different Greek word than we've seen in chapter 4, verse 8. This word means comfort. Paul needed to be comforted. Paul needed to be comforted. And he says, and really all of these men that he mentions thus far, but really these three here, these Jews, he said, they have proved to be an encouragement to me. They have proved to be a comfort to me. That it's amazing if we look at these individuals and what they meant to Paul. It's amazing to see how they ministered to Paul. We think of the Apostle Paul as this great man, and he was, guys, the greatest of the apostles, probably. Paul is saying, I can't do this alone. Look at all these men who are serving alongside me. A messenger, a runaway slave who is now a faithful brother in Christ, a fellow prisoner, a mark, a man that was restored to Paul, and this man named Justice, who was a Jew that was alongside him. Guys, others in ministry, one reason we don't do it alone, there's many reasons. One is accountability. One is to bear one another's burdens. There's many reasons why we're not lone rangers in the ministry. But one is it brings us comfort. And we see this with Paul here. It brings him comfort. Paul was not alone. In fact, there was only one small period of time that Paul was alone. Every other account, he had people with him, ministering with him, helping him, comforting him. So we must all ask ourselves, while we're ministering in this, even this church at Texaco and other churches, does it bring you comfort, those who minister with you? Do they encourage you? Do they keep you accountable as they did Paul? They brought Paul comfort. They brought him joy. They brought him encouragement. And God put them in Paul's life to serve the kingdom. And we really only covered five. We will, Lord willing, cover three next week, three more, as we close this book. But as we leave here this morning, let's focus on what Christ did in their lives, guys. We're not here lifting up Tychicus. We're not here lifting up Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Injustice. We're not here to bring them on a pedestal, and that's not what Paul is doing either, but it's Christ's work in their lives. The only reason they were ministering with Paul, the only reason they had courage, because Christ was at work in their lives. And Paul knew this. So as we leave here this morning, let's focus on what Christ did in their lives. Not just to leave here with greater knowledge of these individuals that were no doubt great heroes of the faith, even though they're not mentioned much in Scripture, some of them. Let's view the ministry and the ones we minister with just as Paul did. Not only as brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow servants alongside each other, but as who we truly are in Christ, slaves of Christ. That's how Paul viewed these men. This is how we should view these men. And this is how we should view the ones that we serve alongside here today. Slaves of Christ. Guys, and there's no greater honor than that. So as we leave here this morning, let's serve Christ. Whatever our ministry is, wherever God puts us, let's serve Christ with courage, with passion, with a renewed mind, with a Spirit-led life. And serve him as our great master. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather as saints. We thank you for these men that you put in Paul's life. Though we don't know a whole lot about them, Father, we know enough that they ministered to Paul. They meant so much to Paul that Paul was willing to suffer alongside him. Father, I pray that, again, that we will leave here not just with knowledge, not just knowing who these individuals are or just being able to recount them in Scripture, but Father, that we would leave here with an ignited will to serve you, to serve alongside others that you have put in our lives. Lord, I thank you for those that you have brought here to Texaco that we do serve alongside. I pray that we all would be more like Tychicus and Onesimus and Aristarchus and Mark and Justice, to have courage and strength to serve no matter what the cost. I pray as we leave here that all of our lives would reflect the new life that you have given us. And I pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen.